sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
It's a Megatron!
Welcome et bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lebanon.
It's a Megatron!
Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on December 31st, 2024. That's right. Well, the title says it speaks for itself. Today's episode is still rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff. Record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast may not be for you.
And a lot of white folk have demonstrated eloquently that they don't have no sense.
All right, before I continue, I need to acknowledge who I believe to be the most important people in this conversation right now, and that's all you listeners, man. Shout out to you. Give it up for yourselves. And also, I want to acknowledge all you first-time new listeners. Yo, shout out to you. Welcome to the party. Yay! Especially if you clicked on this podcast by mistake, thinking I was the other Shut Up Podcast. You know, you're still welcome. Who knows? We might make history together. All right. Reminder, website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast.com. 411@gmail.com. Did I get that right? Yeah, okay. And yeah, if you didn't know, now you know.
The Megatron.
If you can't tell, I'm looking for an excuse to use all the sound effects that I have saved up on my sound pad. And yeah, I'm just looking for excuses. Fuck it. Why not? You know what I mean? It's the end of the year. Fuck it. Let's do this shit.
Shut your mouth, Kane, bitch.
Yeah, you know, you know what? If you were white, I would understand if you were like, yo, this feels racist. So, yeah, I never get the opportunity to share this shit. Yeah, all right. I would also understand if you thought I was a violent podcast. And it's not like that. I'm all about that positivity. I swear. All right.
There you go. Giving a fuck when it ain't your turn to give a fuck.
Yeah, I gotta stop. All right, okay. Today's episode, 232, titled Avant de finir l'année. I'm just gonna wrap up the year with some thoughts relevant to this podcast. All right, can I do that? All right, can I do that, boys and girls? Is it okay if I do that? I'll take that gunshot as an acknowledgement of you saying it's okay. All right? All right, let's do this.
You got to snap some collars and let them motherfuckers know you there to take them out anytime you feel like it.
All right. You got to get the wind beneath your feet, partner. All right, okay. This episode is going to be like the last day of class and you're just fucking around. I mean, I'm still going to share some shit, but I'm fucking around with the aim of being entertaining. Yeah. All right. Okay. Focus.
Yeah, quotes, like we usually do. Let's start with some quotes. And first quote, I wish I was way more organized. Okay, let me set this up. I forgot to click on it before. Now we all got to wait for this Deadspin. Actually, you know what? I could get my chance to say, to put this.
Can I get a amen?
All right, okay. All right, first quote goes, shout out to my man Talon Macy for this one. Again, a lot of my quotes, I just get it. I get it from him. Most of them, yeah, they show up on my timeline. He blesses my timeline with these great quotes, and then I share it with you guys. First one goes, I'm getting so good at letting people be... No, that's not the one. You know, fuck it, I'll just read it. I'm getting so good at letting people be weirdos and going about my day. Okay, that wasn't actually the quote that I wanted to share, but I did enjoy it. This is the one I wanted to share. It goes, you won't be able to properly move past where you are now until you give thanks for it. Okay, that one's going to take time for the process. You won't be able to properly move past where you are now until you give thanks for it. Let it marinate. Second quote. This was from Albert Einstein. It goes, I have no special talent. I'm only passionately curious. All right. And what else do I got? Last one goes, did you not slow it up? Okay. This one is more of a thought. I think it would be classified as a thought, but it comes from a meme that showed up on my Blue Sky timeline. And it goes like this. I sincerely wish more people understood how much of quote-unquote willpower is actually just dopamine regulation. That our in/ability to do everything we need to is almost exclusively brain chemistry and has nothing to do with moral character. Okay, this is one of those thoughts that I'm not going to preach about it. If it makes sense to you, then you're my target audience. If you just heard that and said, well, this is bullshit. You know what? Let's just agree to disagree. All right. Okay. And that's it for quotes. All right. Now let's get into some randomness. And before I do that, let me just wanna start with a little quick break. And no fucking break. Just, again, looking for an excuse here. Just to play.
You know, I didn't come here to preach to you today.
Yeah, I didn't come here to preach today. We're just going to do a bit of randomness. Randomness is just me sharing, exactly like the word is, some random thoughts, random news, random shit that just came up on my timeline, and I said, hey, I should share with the rest of the podcast. I should share with the podcast. All right. Did I acknowledge you? Do I acknowledge you listeners? If not,
Negatron.
Yeah, shout out to my Negatrons. Okay. I'm trying to do two things at once, but I'm not the type. Okay. First things first, let's start with I'm not gonna play this clip. This is but I am going to I feel the need to acknowledge this content creator on TikTok, and her name is Talk with Tandy. I have to acknowledge because she started out this clip that she shared, and links are in the show notes. She just goes over some movies and book recommendation. And I got to tell you, man, yo, she was not bad. Okay. I'm not going to play the clip. She posts the list of the movies that she put out, and it was, first one was The 6888. That's that new Tyler Perry movie on Netflix. And I watched it. I watched it thinking, you know, I was being one of those dicks who's like, man, I don't like Tyler Perry. And that's a lie. And I actually enjoyed the movie. I didn't expect, it was one of those things that I did not expect to like the movie. But this sister comes up on my timeline, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm like, listen to black women, hit play. And I actually enjoyed it. And don't know if it's because of all the, you know, during the holidays, full disclosure, during the holidays, I got fucked up. I got really fucked up. I won't go into the details on how I got fucked up, but let's just say I'm down to two brain cells right now. And I don't know, yeah. I don't know if it's the aftermath or if it's the side effects, but if you're not familiar with Tyler Perry movie, that dude loves to pluck at your emotional strings. And there's two scenes where it's not that they were sad scenes, but they were scenes that would make you emotional. The first one is, you know what? I'm not going to ruin it. I'm not going to spoil it. But there was two specific scenes in true Tyler Perry fashion that just got me. And I remember watching this shit. See, in the real world, when I say in the outside world, I don't usually admit to people that I'm the emotional type. Well, that's a lie. No. But I am. I'm still coming to peace with it. It's like I can be the emotional type. And I remember when those two scenes happened, and I was like, God damn it, I was angry at myself. Cause the tears wanted to come out. I wanted to acknowledge those feelings, but I'm so used to be a man. And let's just say it was a painful experience. Cause on one end, my natural side just wanted to cry. But my toxic masculinity kicked in. It's like, yo, fuck, drive them fucking don't be getting emotional. Anyway, it hurt. I'm trying to cry, but a part of me is telling me not to cry or not feel this moment, not to be in this moment. And yeah, it was tough, man. I think that's what made this movie, in addition to being good, those two scenes that I tried to not acknowledge how I was feeling on the inside. But again, I enjoyed the movie. I didn't enjoy the story. Okay, when I saw the trailer, I remember thinking, what? Male? You set black people up to send some fucking mail for white people? Anyways, but movie was well done. The second movie that she pointed out was Carry On, again on Netflix. Yo, I pretty much was close to giving up on Netflix. The only reason I haven't given up on Netflix is because Netflix is part of the original OGs of streaming service, and it's out of respect. But yeah, I know I was starting to not like their content. But anyways, she got it right. I was surprised that I enjoyed Carry On. Now again, Carry On, it's one of those movies that tell that part of your brain that's like, well, this shit doesn't make sense. Yo, shut the fuck up. It's fucking Christmas. It's you got a day off. You got some binging to do, and just enjoy the story. Let the writers take you away. But yeah, again, enjoy the movie. Great Christmas movie, I would say. I'm not saying it's like Die Hard level. I mean, I'm not saying it's a contender, but I'm saying I would classify this as, I would not be surprised if today's generation consider this is their Die Hard. You know, that's a strong claim. That's a very strong claim. I'm just going to say it was a great movie to watch during Christmas. All right. Now, the next movie she recommends, I did not watch yet. But the fact that she got two straight, I'm like, yo, what the fuck? That's, can you read my future? So, you know what? I'll let you watch the clip for yourself. I'll let you watch the clip for yourself. And holler back at me. Tell me how the movie she recommends, how much of it did you enjoy? But yeah, okay. How many? Okay, she specified 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yo, if all 9 of those movies are great, I'm going to donate to. If she has a Patreon, I'm gonna have to donate. I'm like, yo, what the? Can you see the future, lady? What else do you know about me? Again, yeah. Talk with Tandy, and links are in the show notes. The title is Talk with Tandy movie recommendations. Now, in addition to that, what I've been doing, I feel the need to acknowledge that these aren't necessarily recommendations, but I am going to say that during the holidays, I've been binging and been thoroughly enjoying Yellowstone. Okay, I laugh at the recommendation for Yellowstone. You know what? I think I'll put that in the show notes. But Yellowstone is a guilty pleasure, I will say. It's an interesting show. I'm watching the fifth season of Yellowstone. And it's not just that I like it, but it feels a lot like right-wing propaganda. You know, if I start wearing a MAGA hat and using words like cucks, you fucking cucks, and fucking liberal through libtards, more like that, it's because of this fucking show. Nah, it's just how it's a TV series. If you don't know about it, it's a TV series based in Montana, and a family trying to preserve their ranch and family values and shit like that. Look, it's a good distraction. I'm just going to leave it at that. But they really do a good job at... They did the same thing to Cowboy Life, or fake Cowboy Life, that NWA did to Compton. Compton. Or how Jay-Z did to Brooklyn. Like, you're watching this show and you're like, yeah, man, I want to get on the horse too. I can't get on the horse. I mean, I could, but... There's a picture of me on a donkey, but doesn't matter. But it's like it's a glorifying cowboy life. And the fucking thing is, I know the history of cowboys. How it started with black people. Okay, you know what? I'm gonna go into that. But hold on.
You must learn.
Yeah, there's a history book. You should Google the history of cowboys and especially in relation to black people. But anyways. It's funny how these white folks co-opted. I'm watching this show. I'll be like, I want to be a white cowboy. Yeah, it was. Yeah. I'm saying a lot, but the other thing that complemented this thought is J.L. Covey. J.L. Covey, comedian J.L. Covey. He's got a podcast, for those who don't know, called Raining on Your Parade. Or Raining on My Parade? Raining. Wait, God damn it. Hold on a second. Let me not fuck up this brother's podcast name. Raining on Your Parade? Podcasts. Rain on Your Parade. Yeah, Rain on Your Parade, and he's got an episode called Yellowstone, and he hits the nail of why this show is like a guilty pleasure for me. Like, pro black, be black is like what the, it's like looking at me in disgust. What you watching this cracker show for? And yeah, because it anyways, you know what? The episode by, this is like the TikTok clip where I'm like, yeah, you should check out the other person where I'm stitching J.L. Covey's episode of Yellowstone. And say, yeah, you should check out his podcast, his episode, because he explains it way better than I can. Yeah, anyways, that's a lot to say about that. Yeah, we're going to be here for a while. The other shows, I'm just going to read it out in the interest of time. And it's a Landman. Go figure, another cowboy movie. Arcane and Silo. I'm binging it. I feel like I'm missing something from that list. Yellowstone, Landman, Arcane, Silo. Let me just make sure I'm not missing anything here. I'm going on my phone. And, I don't know if I'm going to keep watching Lioness. Lioness is, yeah, fuck it. I got nothing else to do. Yeah, and my beef with Lioness is rated a good series. My problem is I don't like any movie that portrays the United States Army military as the good guys. I don't give a fuck if there's black people in there, and the constant enemy is brown people. Yeah, or non-white people. I mean, stick to beefing with Russia, man. Yeah, so I'm just checking my list. Checking it twice. By the way, no one listens to... Oh, and Slow Horses. Yeah, that one is a slow start. Ha, Slow Horses. Excuse me. Ooh, did you hear that? I'm sorry. Yeah, that's it. That's it, gang. So those are my TV series. Those were my TV series recommendation for 2024. or for if you're one of those people who've like I did, took 3 weeks off from work and looking for shit to do. Yeah, no, I'm planning on traveling. I'm not going to binge. Not just my plans aren't just to binge. I am traveling. It's to hold me over. You know what? I'll talk about my holidays later. All right, what else do I got on my list? A list of randomness. Okay, this one is, shout out Stranger, Complete Stranger, for this bit of inspiration. And you know what? I read this word on Thread. Content creator's name is, or the person who posted it is Rudden Wood. You know, I have a bad habit of mispronouncing people's name, especially in English. But I'm just going to, I just like what they shared. It goes, so here's the thing about being a Gen X podcaster. Hold on a second. Let me prepare something here. Hold on. There's another opportunity over here. Where did it go? Oh, I guess I didn't save it. Fuck it. We're going to go with this. Okay. So here's the thing about being a Gen X podcaster. That's supposed to be a... but I ain't got that. We've been around long enough to truly have become experts in the topics we podcast about. I got my first computer when I was 11. I was 11 in the mid-80s. Gen Xers know stuff. It recently hit me that I am slowly, I'm turning 50. So I'm slowly creeping into, if I'm not there already, into the elder. I'm the fucking elder. I'm thinking of that scene in The Sopranos where, I think it was season one. Yeah, it was season one where Tony, part of prerequisite to this podcast is I make reference to TV show and expect you to know what the fuck I'm talking about, but I'll try to give you some context. But where shows up to this complicated story, but he's talking to another man who is in the process of burying his dad, and they're talking to each other. Said we had this conversation before about the concern where we would become the elders, and because he buried his dad, he was telling them that now. I'm feeling like the old guy, but for me, it's the whole turning 50. Shout out to all you folks older than 50 and going like, that's still young. Anyways, but I think this is what this podcast is going to be about is, I'm going to be commonly, podcast is about encouraging change, believing in change. And at the same time, I'm the old guy on the microphone. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I know what the fuck I'm talking about, but I'm just going to talk. And hopefully the shit that I say comes out as wisdom. Or it comes out, no, you know what? Not just wisdom, useful. At some point, I say something that you consider useful. Yeah, that's it. So, shout out to this content creator for saying that, for sharing that thought, mainly for encouraging us older podcasters, I guess. Yeah, there we go. All right, next item. Okay, this one is a meme, and it's, great, I put in the wrong link. Oh, shit, I hate when that happens. Okay, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to find this one. And while I find it, I'm going to, just to not waste time, I'm going to play...
Silence! I make the pronouncements.
Silence! I make the pronouncements. Where did it go? Is this? Oh, there it is. Okay. It's this one. It goes... Again, links will be in the show notes. Oh, this one comes from X-Christian Memes, and it goes a little something like this. How can a religion that calls humans sinful create a better world for humans when it believes them to be underserving of basic decency? I'll take it a step further, and I say this as a former Christian, someone who grew up, who did the whole church thing, and from my own observation, it's like, okay, wrap this thought real quick. The Christians I grew up with, the notions they were pushing, I don't think they realized it, but they had no reason for wishing for a better day, for hoping for better days. I mean, sure, yeah, I hope my wife stops cheating on me. I hope my kids gets out of prison. Sure, better days like that. But overall, there's this constant wish for Jesus to come back, for the end of the world to spark up. It's like, man, fuck climate change. Why the fuck do I want shit to end in the Middle East when the prophecy says that war is going to lead to Jesus coming back and me going to all you fucking heathens and saying, see, told you so, there's Jesus. My point is, there was nothing about that religion that inspired. No, that's a lie. Okay. There was nothing about what I was taught or from the people I thought that inspired hoping or doing the work for a better day. Now, what's interesting is I'm currently reading the autobiography of Martin Luther King. Well, it's complicated. It's not his actual work. It's someone who would like, it, whatever. But there's a part, it is amazing how Martin Luther King was able to use Christianity as his inspiration. I mean, he had his own reasons, he has personal reason to fight racism, but to spark the civil rights movement. But he was able to find it. I'm saying the folks I grew up with, the Christians I grew up with, and I'm not who shared the common mentality. Look, yeah, the Christians I grew up with did not realize that these motherfuckers pessimists. And they were like using Christianity to fuel their pessimism. Anyways, with that said, this is why I stuck to this this quote. Because this one goes, how can a religion that calls humans sinful create a better world for humans when it believes them to be undeserving of basic decency? To this point, yeah, I also grew up with the notion that, yeah, you ain't shit. And that's why Jesus had to die on the cross, go watch the Passion of the Christ one more time. Look at him suffer. Look at him. It's all your fucking fault. And yeah, because you ain't shit. Whatever. Okay. This quote speaks to all my randomness speaks to what this podcast is about. And especially the former Christian, ex-Christian, it's not that I'm anti-Christian, but it's like, oh, so I have a segment on this podcast called Church Ratchetness, and it's my time to just talk shit about the church. And you know, that's what happens. I'm a preacher's kid. Some preacher's kid, you know, have baby out of wedlock. Me, I grew up to talk shit about the church. Come see, come south. And shout out to anyone from the Black Guy Who Tips community thinking, hey, didn't you steal that from the Black Guy Who Tips? And I want to be clear. I want to explain myself and say, no, they have sword ratchetness. I have church ratchetness. They're McDonald's. I'm McDowell. Don't get it twisted. All right, okay. What else do I got? This one is also, yeah, sticking on the theme of church ratchetness and how, yeah, why I'm a former Christian today, a proud former Christian. This one goes, this next quote is, this meme actually made me realize why even today, even now, I still struggle with the concept of love. And, the response is, I'll just read the whole thing. It goes, woke up to this text from my dad, should I even bother responding? And, and the message goes, well, from the content creator, he goes, help advice. He goes, just seeking a little guidance, maybe some words of comfort from people who may experience a similar family dynamic. Today is my birthday. This is the text I woke up to from my dad. I left the church a decade ago, I can relate, and have made my position on the matter very clear. I still maintain a relationship with my parents through more distance and with some more boundaries. Exactly. I've asked that he not try to bring me back to the flock numerous times, in numerous ways. He had been doing pretty well on that front until this. Oh, man. Sorry to hear that. Is it even worth responding, or should I just leave it on read? Thank you for reading. Yeah. And the message he got from his dad. And a lot of you, if there's a Christian out there, they'll be like, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with the message? But I get it. It goes, don't be upset with me for my love. I'm already angry. Please make peace with our Father through our Savior, His Son. It is my most sincere hope to greet you with an embrace in the internal next. Well, you know, I love you. I think only former Christians will understand why this is so annoying. Look, this disconnect that I have with my parents, especially when it comes to the religion that they believe in. It's not just that they believe in, but they grew up with. They to them, it's... I joked about how... I know it's a big deal for my parents. I joked about how on my 25th birthday... Well, that's not the joke. It's how my dad gave me a Bible when I was 25. And I truly believe in his mind, he was like... It was a big deal for him giving it. It's like he didn't sacrifice anything, but for him, it was like, I'm giving you the world. And I was comparing it to, I remember reading a story about how Puffy bought his kid a car when he turned 16, or was he 24? Whatever. But my point is, I remember realizing to him, this is like Puffy giving his kid, here's a new car. And again, I know it's a serious thing for him from his perspective. But the fact that I have no way of explaining to him, it means a lot to you, but it means zero to me. It means actually the opposite. He has no idea. There's no way for me to explain, to get it through his mind. Actually, all my religious relatives, I ain't trying to hear this Jesus shit. You have no idea how, to me, it's like the religion of our oppressors. In their mind, I'm just a guy who's going to get it at some point. That disconnect alone was enough to be like, you know what? There is no God. The fact that I'm stuck in this situation, it's impossible. It's pretty much impossible for me to explain to my parents, I ain't trying to hear this Jesus shit. I know it means a lot to you, but I need you to understand, to me, I was going to say, you might as well call me the N-word, call me a nigger, but no, it's one of these things. I just need to write that down. That disconnect alone between me and my loved ones, the people gave me birth, is enough to be like, there is no fucking God. This religion is some bullshit. It's like I feel like I just crawled out of a cult. And I'm like, and I have no means of explaining to them, communicating to them. So I relate to the original authors saying, look, how they left the church a decade ago. They made their position very clear. Yeah, no, it's usually in my church days, I would have said you could only do your best and let God do the rest. Right now, it's like I've done my best. Nah, it's like I gotta let the universe do right. Like it's gonna be this thing between us. It's gonna be the one thing that, again, my inability to explain it to them is what bothers me the most about Christianity. Like, I ain't trying to hear that shit. I'm like, I'm done with this Christianity. I'm like, I'm not trying to make a scene. But you gotta understand, you know, preacher's kid. The preacher's kid breaking up with his parents over religion. You got, you know, the is, I don't know if the word is irony, but the all right, it's wild, man. It's the closest I can explain it. It's like fucking your immune system attacking itself. No, that's a bad example, but yeah, it's fucked up, man. I talk to my folks, but it's, but we're like, it's not like it used to. I can't fake going to church anymore. I can't fake, yeah, mom, whatever you say, Jesus coming back, whatever. And it's not just, you know, because back in the days, I would have been able to let it slide. Just like, yeah, whatever. Say whatever the fuck you want. I'm just going to pretend like I'm hearing you. Now it's like, nah, I can't fake it anymore. You want me to be something that I am not. That's pretty much what it's all about. Yeah. Sometimes I think it'd be easier if I was. Okay, this is, I'm not trying to, is it patronize? I'm not trying to like, I'm worried this might be missing. Sometimes I think it'd be easier if I was gay. Because then they would have a reason to be like, oh, well, okay, well, fuck it. Get out the fuck out of our house. It'd be easier if we had that, if we disconnected on that. If they were like, oh, okay, well, if you're one of them, then fuck that. Sorry, I'm laughing at the idea of pretending to be gay just so they get the fucking point of how much I don't want to hear shit about this religion. But it is what it is. It is what it is. All right. Okay. Last point, and these two points, I'm going to stick it together, last point of randomness before I get to the last thought is, again, another meme perspective. And it's about being alone. Okay, like, first of all, let me explain how I recorded a private episode. It's a new thing I'm going to do. I recorded a private episode that I'm not sure if I'm going to publish it. But if I do, it's going to be behind a paywall. Because I'm realizing part of why I do this podcast is it allows me the journal. This is shit that I should be writing down. But writing is like a frustrating process for me, so it's easier to do it just behind the microphone. And it also gives me the option that, okay, this is what I'm trying to say. Let me put that into words. But for now, microphone, recording, publish. But every once in a while, there's things on my mind that I need to share. It's just a new thing I'm trying, and I made it a private episode. And it touched on the idea of if I was to give that private episode a title, it would be called Loner versus Loser, Losers versus Loner, or something about the idea. It's about the idea of being a loner. And how society, or how I grew up with the notion that all loners are losers. If you're a loner, something is wrong with you. Meaning, it's better to be the person. A bad relationship is better than being alone. I'm touching on that. It was on that idea, but I go way deeper and very personal into it. But on that note, I was thinking about how during the holidays, I was spending a lot of time, thinking to myself. Thinking to myself, and I caught myself a lot complaining, and I'm realizing everything I complain about is, I could sum it up to, you're just complaining about who you are. You're just complaining about you instead of just being grateful for what you got. It's like a hobby of mine. I like to complain. It's my favorite pastime. Now, don't get me wrong. If I'm around people, I don't spend my time complaining. But my internal voice, 3 weeks of vacation. Instead of enjoying it, I could hear my mind like, oh, you should be doing this. You should be joining at that party. You should be hanging out with these people. You should be yada, 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 instead of like, I'm enjoying this. And the two memes that stuck to me this week, well, because another thing I like to do is getting a hit of dopamine from scrolling social media. And the first one goes, this one is from, again, on Thread, Wise.Opinion Perspective. And it's a picture of I don't know if you're familiar with that. You know what? Links are in the show notes. But it's an image of two people on the bus. Yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with that meme. Two people on the bus. The one on the right the one on the left is miserable, looks miserable, and the one on the right is smiling. And the two and the message goes, "I'm alone. I'm alone." So meaning you got one guy who's miserable being alone, and you got the other one having the greatest time while being alone. So yeah, I part of that private podcast that I recorded was touching on how, even though I was enjoying my own company, there was a voice in my head calling me a loner, calling me a loser. It's like, are you sure you're doing this right? Like, my family don't approve of this whole, the fuck you mean you want to be alone? You should be enjoying Christmas with us. You're not hearing me. I'm trying to preserve my mental health here. Anyways, and the last meme that I'm sharing with you, and it goes introvert memes. This exactly, and it goes, why I like to be alone, and it came off as a perfect reminder, and I'm just going to read the list there. It goes, why I like to be alone, no pants, nobody complaining about my weird but epic playlist, exactly, or what the fuck I'm watching on television. I can dream impossible things without realists bringing me down. I'm good company. I can be the truest version of myself. That one is like very important to me. It's relaxing to be free of others' expectation. And again, no pants. I don't know. I think if you're one of those people who grew up, you might relate to this. If you grew up with families where criticism was their love language, like in their mind, criticizing you is their way of saying, no, I'm just helping you get improving while not seeing that you're not improving. Yeah, when you're surrounded people who just like, it's their love language is criticizing you. Like they're probably bad on themselves. You know what? People who would benefit from therapy, but because they don't get into therapy, then you end up in therapy only to realize that, oh shit, you know what? Keeping my distance would actually help me enjoy this life even more. But yeah, no, I think I had reached my limit of the criticism I was willing to tolerate from another human being. It's like, just let me be. And it's not because I'm blocking my ears to criticism. It's like, you know, I criticize my own self. I'm criticizing my own self. It's like they see criticism as like watering a plant. It's like, well, you're feeding it while not realizing, hey, this plant is not growing or not growing the way you want it to grow. But anyways, we all got our own problems. You know what? I think I'm going to dedicate this episode, this podcast, to all you loners out there. But not like miserable loners, but like enjoy their own company loners and connect to the joy of not having to wear pants. Okay, look, I wear pants, don't get me wrong. But I like not having to care about what someone else is. Not having to care about someone else's thoughts about me, except my own. All right, boys and girls, this concludes randomness for 2024. I just realized, did I mention that, yeah, this is the end of the year podcast? So let's jump to last thought and wrap up this podcast, all right? So before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. And let's start you up with this here. And we are back. Okay. Again, using this as an excuse to play some of these sound clips. I need to get a better sound pad because it takes a lot of time to load.
I'm giving y'all a fair warning right now.
Shout out to anyone who recognized the people who recognize that voice. I'm giving y'all a fair warning right now. Okay. Yeah.
The Megatron.
I don't know if you heard. Yeah. There's a big delay between me hitting play and this asshole responding. So, oh, you want me to play the sound effect? Okay, let me play it now. All right, let's go.
I'm very happy to be here.
All right. Amen. All right, okay. Okay, last thought. I think I was initially going to call this episode Bye Bye Demon Venkat 2024. And yeah, some of you aren't familiar with the show. It's a show on the French-Canadian TV channel, Radio-Canada, the French version of CBC, Canadian Broadcasting something, Canada, I think it means, whatever. And it's a TV show that my family, we used to enjoy watching where, you know, they would do skits and summarize and just skits about shit that happened throughout the country, especially in the country, or throughout, you know, throughout the world. Funny skits about shit that would think of SNL in French, but all the skits are based on shit that happened throughout the year. And it's my way of summarizing everything that happened throughout the year. Now, of course not. I don't have that kind of budget. And B, that's a lot of research. But the one thing, I think the one impactful thing that I want to recognize for 2024 is goddamn hip hop. It was a great year for hip hop, at least for me. I didn't even need to look it up, but I did look it up. I've been using YouTube Music as my music player. Oh, that's right, because I was boycotting Spotify. Long story, whatever, right? And you know what? I can summarize my favorite rap artists. Is this a top five? No, six. All right. Yeah, no, five. Most impactful rap artists for 2024. Fuck, come on, man. Number one. Come on. Do I really have to say it? To a number one, man. It's, come on, boys and girls, Kendrick Lamar. Okay, that's not what I wanted to play. All right, okay. Yeah, Kendrick Lamar.
I gotta hear him, man.
All right, okay. Second place, and this one surprised me, was Benny the Butcher and 38 Special. Third place, okay, this one's kind of funny, is third place is, okay, this is the reason why Kendrick and Kendrick Lamar, Benny the Butcher, and 38 Special was a big deal for me is because I'm one of those old hip-hop heads who's still stuck on 70s, 80s, 90s, especially 90s, especially because I was a teenager in my 90s, 90s and early 2000 hip-hop. I'm one of those stubborn people. Like, if you hit play, you're very likely to hear that shit. So it was a big deal for Kendrick and Benny the Butcher, especially Benny the Butcher and 38 Special, because I was convinced I was done with drug rap, with hip-hop related to hip-hop music related to selling drugs or drugs. But yeah, I don't. I gotta, like, praise these two brothers, these three brothers, because they did a big deal. Now, so I say, I go to 90s hip-hop just so I can acknowledge that those two rappers are the reason why J. Cole and Drake are also on my list of impactful rappers. Now, I want to be close. Okay, 90s hip-hop and J. Cole were tied. No, okay, I feel like I'm blaspheming. Okay, 90s hip-hop is still up there. But I'm saying, when I say 90s hip-hop, I mean my usual hip-hop that I grew up with, that I'm stuck on listening. That some of you kids, no, I remember I had a young, I was driving this young dude home, and his dumb ass made the mistake of making fun of the fact that I was still listening to Because I'm Public Enemy number one. What? Go, man, that's some bullshit. I'm like, get the fuck out of my car. The bus is right behind you. Okay, I didn't throw him out my car because, you know, that was whatever. But I remember being like, okay, well, that's the last time I give these young pups a ride. First rule of entering my car, shut the fuck up about the music. Anyways, yeah, so 90s hip-hop, J. Cole and Drake, and I put Drake and everyone else. By playing Kendrick's music or Benny the Butcher, especially Kendrick, it's the reason why I was reintroduced or introduced to Schoolboy Q. You know what? Let me check up the list. Let me see what I have in there. Schoolboy Q. Oh, where is it? Where's my list? There it is. I have to go through my recap. Okay, Nas. Nas is already there. Who else did I discover? Oh, this is Dancehall? DJ Giovanni. I wish I could play this shit. And Snoop Dogg. Yeah, Snoop Dogg had a new album. My point is, I swear, I did discover new artists. I just never remembered your... I did listen to new hip-hop. You know what it is? Maybe, I think I had reached an age where I was convinced that it's not going to get any better than this. And I'm like... grateful for these artists, these new artists, for coming out. Oh, Common, A Song for Asada. I forgot about that. Or CeeLo. Right. I'm grateful for Kendrick, J. Cole, and Drake, especially in that order. I'm still pissed at Drake. Don't get me wrong. But I'm, like, acknowledging that J. Cole, Drake, you guys need to thank Kendrick for the fact that my love for hip-hop was rekindled. It's like, okay, there's still hope for hip-hop. I guess I never thought I'd be the old guy who'd be like, oh, they don't make it like they used to. But apparently there's like a scientific study that was made about how the shit you grew up with as a teen gets stuck in your head. Like, you know, but look, new generation. You're going to be that kid who'd be like, well, hip-hop went downhill after Kendrick. Or whatever the fuck you guys are listening to right now. let me listen to... I'm not going to make fun of mumble rap. Okay, latest hip-hop. You know, I'm not going to look it up. But my point is, it felt good being proven wrong. It felt good being introduced to new rap song. And it was still there, and it was like, I can't explain, and I wish, but it felt good, like going from Nas Get Down, and believing like it's not gonna get any better than this, and then boom, and it's also beautiful knowing that these guys, the Kendrick, the Drakes, the J. Cole, grew up on this music. I think that's the most powerful part. They grew up on this same music. And it inspired them to write their own music and then be the stars that they are. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's powerful, man. It's like passing on the torch. There's something beautiful about, yeah. It'd be equivalent, no. I was going to say, it would be equivalent to, it'd be equivalent to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast and a bunch of new younger types come out and are just as, they get as big as the Black Guy Who Tips. And this is the very important part, give homage to the Black Guy Who Tips. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, like, passing on the torch to the next generation. It's like, without A, there wouldn't be B, there wouldn't be, and yeah, it's a beautiful feeling for me. I also feel the need to acknowledge, because I was listening to a lot of non-hip-hop music, because, you know, again, I was stuck on the old stuff, And I'm giving a shout out to Lucas Graham. What else is there? I'm not a big fan of Jelly Roll, but while watching, I think that's another reason I like Yellowstone is because some music. Fuck, Yellowstone had me listening to some country rap. Holy shit! You know what? Oh my god! I feel like I'm very. I feel like I should beg for forgiveness to the ancestors, but Dochi was also a new catch. Okay, let me go back for my list. It's gonna be Kendrick, Benny the Butcher, 90s hip hop, Dochi and J. Cole. No, Dochi, 90s hip hop, J. Cole. Like, I have an episode where I was like, after discovering Dochi, and when I saw her presentation, her Tiny Desk presentation, I raved about it. But yes, shout out to them, man. Shout out to the artists. Shout out to all you artists. Please stay creative. Please keep defying this world that keeps telling you that you don't bring nothing to the world. Nah, fuck that, man. You have no idea how grateful I am for, well, all you artists, and especially you artists who create something that reaches someone like me. Okay. I guess I should say that to writers, but whatever. Okay. I also want to go through before I go into my last thought is, I feel the need to acknowledge for 2024. It's been a good year for me for reading books. And when I say reading, I mean audiobooks, but matters to me. And now, unfortunately, Audible doesn't show you the list, everything that you finished throughout the year. But what is that? What is that? Okay, so I'm going to go through the list of, I'm going to scan through this list of everything that I completed in 2024. I want to point them out. Okay, this is books that I started and did not finish. Shame on me. Okay. Somebody save me before myself. Okay. No one listens to this podcast for my singing, by the way. Okay. shout out to my homegirl, Shannon. Yeah, she put me onto this book, and it was like, I'm surprised this is the first one on the list, but The Three Body Problem. Yeah, The Three Body Problem. I enjoyed reading that book. The Godfather. Yes, I did see the movie, but the book was like, went into a lot of beautiful details. Oh, shit. The thing I would never. Erasure. Erasure was another good one. Erasure is the book that. The movie American Fiction was based off. And great read, very funny, and all that. I'm trying to remember where I was when I was reading it, because I was out of town. Which city was I in? Because I can picture the hotel. I just can't remember what city I was in. Damn. Stay off drugs, kids. All right. Erasure. What's this? I don't know what this one is. I'm just kidding, because Audible just shows you every book that you press play on. And so I'm just trying to show the most memorable ones. Middle of the Night? I don't remember that. No, that's not it. Okay. Oh, shit. Shame on me. I'm still not done going through Black as Fuck History. Oh, man. By Michael Harriet. It's on my list. Okay, I'll save that one. This one was another great read. Scenes from My Life by Michael K. Williams. I thought that shit was inspiring. It was very, like, insightful to the actor who played Omar in The Wire. What else do I got? Strength Training Over 40. Yeah, no, I'm gonna do that one. Okay. Don't they do that one? Letters to Penthouse. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, it's a good thing I don't go to church anymore. What is this one? I don't think I read that. I'm not familiar with this book. Okay. Funny Story. What is it? It says mark that's finished on August 8th. What is that book? Hold on, bear with me. I'm gonna click on it and see what the fuck is that. Emily Henry. Oh, okay. I guess it was just the preview. I didn't buy it. Okay, yeah. Now I get it. Okay. It even lists books that I clicked just to preview. But yeah, okay. It wasn't worth mentioning. Road to Jonestown by Jeff Goins. And it's about cult leader Jim Jones. And while reading it, I'm like, it was like very clear that the people of the MAGA supporters, they're cult followers. And I never thought it was a funny thing to point out that they were cult followers, or at the very least, not dismiss or how dangerous it is. You know what? Okay. So I'm not going to talk about the election. I'm still hurt by that. The Message by Ta-Nehisi Coates. Yes, that was a great read. Didn't finish that one. Oh, right. Okay, this was another great read. F-E-H by Shalom Allinster, man. That dude made self-loathing into an art. And, funny art. Well, you got to read it for yourself. You had to read it. The Autobiography of Malcolm X. Now, I want to be clear. Yes, I did read the book, but hearing the audiobook was very refreshing, especially at my age. When I read the audiobook of Malcolm X, I was a teenager. So reading it now as an adult, as a grown-up with a mortgage and shit like that, it was different. It felt different. Asada Shakur. Actually, the title is called Asada by Asada Shakur, Angela Davis Foreword. That was another great read. And didn't do that one. Oh, okay, that's it. Oh, okay, yeah. And now I'm starting the autobiography of Malcolm X Jr. by Claiborne Carson. All right. Yeah, my point is, I'm tapping myself on the back for these great reads. It was some insightful reads, and I'm proud of myself for what I've read this year. The list of shit that I'm grateful for is every book. Okay, every book that I finish, and every new hip hop track that I discovered. There's other things that I'm willing to say about what I'm grateful for, but this is the ones that I'm willing to share on this podcast. So, with that said, let me give myself.
Y'all motherfuckers need to gangbang them books.
that's what I would call it. Gangbang these books. Yeah, patting myself on the back for this one. All right, so. I would encourage you to like think about the stuff that you're grateful for, and especially if whether big or small accomplishments, you know, pat yourself on the back, man. Trust me, ça va monter le moral. It will. I don't know how to say that in English. It will lift your spirits up. All right, okay. Last but not least, what Tommy said. Okay, I went over my hour mark, but I'm gonna finish this up with. This section I'm just titling this as New Hope. Yeah, I referenced the private episode that I recorded. Part of the reason why I recorded this episode is to acknowledge the fact that it's okay if you're one of those people who want to make a big deal out of New Year's resolution. I used to have this bad habit of paying attention, of listening to all the wrong people or taking advice from the wrong people. And I remember the naysayers. It's like, what do people make you use resolutions? They're just going to give up on, you know, people like make fun of folks who still make resolutions or say shit like, or joke about how, I mean, you can make those jokes. I guess it's the people who take it seriously or like joke. I still remember people joking about how the gym is full in the month of January and it's empty in February. And to me, what I'm trying to say is don't listen to those people. I mean, they have their own reasons for making those jokes, but if you want to get back to the gym, if you want to make resolutions, if you're aiming for a better you, oh, God damn it, I don't believe I'm preaching. Anyways.
You know, I didn't come here to preach to you today.
Okay, I'm trying to talk to myself. Okay, again, this is just me hoping that I say something useful.
But you know.
But anytime someone says but, they've negated everything before it. Yes. Okay. So I don't want to preach, but it sounds like I'm preaching right now. I'm just trying to say, or I'm trying to say that if you want to believe in resolutions, go for it. When I was throughout the week, like I said, I was complaining, and there was a part throughout the week where I was kind of feeling a bit low. I don't know, discouraged about the future. But what did lift my spirits up is the idea of, okay, 2025 is going to be different. Even though I still can hear the naysayers like, no, it's not. You're still going to be the same. You're still going to be whatever. It's like, you know what? Fuck them. And this is my way of saying, there's something healthy about believing in things can be different. And that's what I'm trying to say. There's something, if you struggle with optimism, I would encourage you to, like, fuck it. Be the naive person. Okay, you know what? Okay, instead of talking to someone, I'm going to talk to myself here. I'm just going to say it's make that change. You know what? Hold on. I'm going to see. There's a New Year's resolution that I really enjoyed. Let me see if I can find it. New Year's resolution. It's one that I use at the end of the year. New Year's resolution. Believe in magic. Okay. How did it go? It goes, okay, I can't find it. It's, fuck. But I remember the New Year's resolution ended with the idea of either I hope you still believe in magic or it's okay to still believe in magic. And it was their way of saying it's okay for your inner child to be like, don't be too grown up. It's okay to still want to believe that shit might get better. Fuck. We're going to have to. It just hit me. Because this was really depressing. I'm like, oh shit, 2025 is the year that in 20 days from January, well, 21 days from now, that fucking asshole, Trump, will be, what's the word? Basically, officially president of the United States. I don't know if you fuckers don't remember how it was when that dude did not waste any time. Did not waste it. As soon as he came into office, it's like he took a shit on the United States. He said, yeah, everything that he said he was going to do ended up doing. Like, I don't know if it's going to end with, I'm going to ram it in, stick it in, or whatever. But trust the magic. Is that what it was? Journaling. Oh, wow. Our New Year's resolution, a waste of... That's interesting. You know what? Okay, I love this quote. It goes, and suddenly you just know it's time to start something new and trust the magic of beginnings. That's beautiful. Meister Eckhart. Meister Eckhart? That's a beautiful quote. You know, I'm going to save this one. I guess that's what I'm just trying to say, man. Trust the magic of new beginnings. And it's my way of saying that I wish you all, listeners, great listeners, that, thank you for sticking around for 2024. Thank you for being a great audience. And I wish you all, whatever your biggest aspirations are, I wish you all a great 2025. Now, I do plan on recording first day tomorrow, because it's going to be a while before I get back to... So the plan is this. After this week, I am going on a boat cruise, and I will be where I'll be celebrating my birthday. So my point is, it's going to be a while before you'll get an episode from me. Hence why I'm recording this one here and hoping to record a second one at the beginning of 2025. I think I'm going to call it soon. I'll be 50 years old. Shout out to Lucas Graham for that one, for that title. Anyways, yeah, so, but my point is I'm taking the opportunity to say thank you for listening. And also, I wish you all a great 2025. Like Nas said, may your pain be champagne. Nah, fuck, something like that. May the only pain you feel is champagne. May you just celebrate. I hope it's a year of celebrations, but most of all, this is the year where things get better for you. All right. On that note, this is my way of saying big ting aguan. Big ting aguan for 2025. And I wrap this up with this sound. All right. Peace. Love, peace, and hair grease. And yeah, see you in the new year.
I am your king now!